This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Traditional musher banquets hand out awards and recognition, and the Kuskokwim 300 Sled Dog Race is no exception. But in Bethel, it is much more than that. KYUK's Johanna Urick reports it's a love fest with affection going in both directions.
It starts as people line up for the food. Mushers talk about the dogs and the little tricks and refinements they might use to make the next race better. A couple of mushers were talking about lining a sled runner with pink plastic.
I know what the difference is, and it's just a newer style plastic with some additives and waxes.
People
and
elsewhere on the line are discussing how to care for the dogs that are dropped during the race. One volunteer walked down the line to thank each musher she came across. Jim Lanier, the oldest musher to ever run the K300, was looking at the weekend and thinking about coming back.
All of you people here in Bethel want to say thank you for hosting a terrific event. And sure, if there's any way possible, I'll come back.
The deep connection between musher and community threaded through the whole evening, topping off a weekend that saw it expressed up and down the trail. And that love pays off. Organizers say volunteers doing hard work for free year after year is the reason why the Kuskokwim races have such a rich purse compared to other mid-distance sled dog races in the state. And this year, those who ran the shorter Bogus Creek 150-mile race made a lot more money than even the race organizers anticipated, because there were a lot fewer competitors in the race. Myron Engsman, who helped start these races decades ago, says the first Cusco 300 race purse totaled $12,000, but that was not even close to the kind of money that was handed out Monday night.
And the last place finisher in the Bogus gets $8,000. I don't know, I don't follow it close enough to say, but I'm willing to bet that there isn't a dog race in the world that's ever paid $8,000 to their last place finisher.
It was local champ Pete Kaiser who summed up the evening best, thanking the mushers who fly to Bethel to compete in the K300.
I just want to thank all the fellow mushers for coming out here. I know it's a huge undertaking, but it's a huge part of this race. It's not always the biggest field, but the best mushers are here. And ever since I was a little kid watching this race, looking up to people, Jeff King, celebrity-like to us. I know Richie feels the same way. Just want to thank you guys for coming out. Spread the word. We got the best race in the world, and hope to see you all next year.
At the K300 Mushers Banquet for KYUK, I'm Johanna Urick.
And in more K300 news, Lance Mackey took the Red Lantern in the Kuskokwim 300 sled dog race late Sunday night. The former Iditarod champion was the last to cross the finish line in Bethel at 10:33, over 6 hours after he left Tuluksak. Mackey knew he had trouble before the race began. It started just after he got to town.
On Tuesday, three of my dogs started kind of sneezing, turned into a little bit of a cough. Turned into not eating for a couple days prior to the race.
The virus spread to most of the team. In Tuluksak, Mackey says his goal had changed and he was no longer aiming for a position in front of the field of 21 sled dog teams.
I'm guaranteeing I'm going to finish 21st. If I got to camp at the no man's sign outside of Bethel to make sure that happens.
Mackey left Tuluksak with six dogs at 4:20 Sunday afternoon and made it to Bethel at 10:33 in time to get rested before the Mushers' Banquet Monday evening. And finally, the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska says the state's financial regulator is chilling voices critical of Native corporation management. Now, the Alaska Supreme Court is set to hear a case that could decide how much power the state has to police shareholder speech. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
Newspaper editor Deanna Hecker has worked at the Nome Nugget since 2003, and all letters to the editor pass her desk. So when she received one in early 2017, the paper printed it. It wasn't an endorsement of a candidate, which the newspaper prints as paid ads.
We don't want to end up with 50 letters to the editor endorsing the same candidate.
But this letter, it took aim at Sitnasook Native Corporation's election process.
And to me, voicing an opinion on process is exactly what letters to the editor are all about. That's, you voice your opinion, and I didn't think twice about it, because to me that falls under the First Amendment rights of free speech.
But the state's financial regulator sees it differently. The Division of Banking and Securities regulates Alaska's native corporations, including shareholder elections. In fact, it's empowered to police online and written speech in a way designed to ensure fairness and transparency. And one of those ways is to require shareholders to file disclosures before making statements that could sway shareholders in an election. Now, the letter didn't name anyone, but after receiving a complaint, the state investigated and fined letter writer Austin Amasuk $1,500 and ordered him not to do it again. ACLU of Alaska's legal director, Stephen Kotev, says there are good reasons for states to regulate shareholder conduct.
Courts have almost universally agreed that these sorts of limitations are supported by compelling government interests and the interest in having fair and open elections among corporate entities.
But he says in this case, the state went too far. The gist of Austin Amasuk's letter was that shareholders shouldn't give their voting power to the majority board. The state claimed Amasuk's letter was misleading, something he denies and remains unresolved. But the legality of this case isn't over whether his letter was factual or not. It hinges on whether he should have filed a disclosure outlining his relationship with other shareholders with the division before writing in the newspaper. In a general statement, the division says its disclosure requirements are intended to promote fairness, truth, and transparency. No one from the state attorney general's office, which is representing the division, would talk on tape, but Assistant Attorney General Robert Schmidt wrote in a short statement that the state's interested in making sure proxy statements, as these ballots are called, do not contain material misstatements so shareholders can have accurate information. The ACLU maintains that the state is using its corporate speech policing power too broadly. Kotev says it was the general leadership of Sitnasuk Native Corporation that Amasuk took aim at.
And if the state is in the business of telling citizens or squelching citizen speech that is meant to criticize the corporate entity, then we have crossed the line and we are on our way well down that slippery slope.
In 2019, Banking and Securities received 27 complaints and issued enforcement orders against shareholders in 5 cases, 4 of which involved posts on Facebook. Now, this Supreme Court case is a legal fight between a state regulator and a civil liberties group. But a friend of the court brief, signed by former Attorney General Jonna Lindemuth, was submitted on behalf of 4 regional Native corporations. It backs up the state. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
This is KYUK News. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Thanks for listening. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.